Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, The Fan, Rochester, getting you ready to win your fantasy football league. And to do that, we talk to the best and the brightest minds out there, sharing their ideas and their thoughts with you, like Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy, who joins us regularly through the course of the season. Andy, we are on the eve of the NFL kickoff, and we still have some unresolved issues around the NFL. How are you, and how are you dealing with Ja'Marr Chase?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I am among the best or the brightest, and I'm certainly not guaranteeing anybody a win, but I am doing well. I am ready for the regular season to be here. It's always a the weeks and months that lead up to the regular season kickoff are always unpredictable and fun, but weird. So I'm glad to be in the season long rhythm now. Chase has been a tough one because this is a lot of time away from a team that he's obviously perfectly familiar with, right? Like we shouldn't have to worry that much about what it looks like when Ja'Marr Chase actually returns to the Bengals, which of course should happen. Like I feel like it's a provable mistake to allow any kind of work stoppage, hold out, hold in, whatever we want to call it, like to drag into the regular season. That sort of thing can change the trajectory of a career. Not that Ja'Marr Chase is at the same point in his career that like Le'Veon Bell was, but it's not generally a great move. It's certainly not a great look. I'm still drafting him in the first round. I would just be shocked if the team or the player allowed this thing to drag deep into the season. It seems crazy to me. It very rarely happens. So I'm not going to panic about it.
Andy, there's one other story that did get resolved, but sometimes you see soft tissue injuries. I'm worrying about Brandon Ayuk. Do you have any concerns about Ayuk or the 49er offense just kind of picking up where they left off here?
No, again, it's one of those teams. I mean, you should be concerned about the Jets in week one, right? Like they're facing a very, very good defense in opening week in that. We could end up seeing like a 17-16 game, a 17-14 game, a weird score game, something like that. That's very much in play. But I'm not unusually concerned about a team that obviously made a deep postseason run last year that has year-to-year continuity. I feel worse about the Niners if they were a team that was trying to sort of reinvent itself on the fly, but they are not. This is the cast of characters that we had last year. You know, they finally get Trent Williams, you know, back in the mix. They finally get Christian McCaffrey back in the mix. If there's anything to worry about with Brandon Ayuk, it's that he had to do it last year on extreme efficiency. And he was great. He's a great player. But there's not a path to, like, 160 targets for Brandon Ayuk. He's not a volume guy. That's just simply not going to happen in Kyle Shanahan's system. So he's going to have to do a lot with a little, which he's fully capable of doing. I view him as a very solid wide receiver too. I'd play him right away without much hesitation.
Andy, when we talk about offenses that we want to grab shares of and be invested in, the Vikings offense isn't really one of them, even though there are some talented skill position players there and you're going to fight through Sam Darnold this season. But what does that mean for a Justin Jefferson? What does it mean for an Aaron Jones? Knowing that you have a head coach who's historically performed well, regardless of who the quarterback is, Nick Mullins was a thing last year for a moment of time in Kevin O'Connell's offense. So how worried are you, or should you be worried about your Justin Jefferson, your Aaron Jones, your Jordan Addisons, your Minnesota assets?
I will say Nick Mullins is just a different category of quarterback. He's the most YOLO ball quarterback that you're ever going to see, right? He'll put any pass up for grabs. He'll put the ball in harm's way and he'll do it frequently. But, you know, he'll do it in the name of giving playmakers a chance to make plays, which we generally love in fantasy. Nick Mullins is pretty much always good for three or four throws every game that either should be picked off, are picked off, could be picked off. You know, he's a risk taker to a reckless extent. But we like it when guys like that. If we have to have a bad quarterback at the controls of an offense, I'll take a guy like Nick Mullins. Sam Darnold just hasn't been accurate over the course of his career. He's never really challenged, you know, a 60% completion rate in a league where, you know, we set the bar at like 70% for being great. So there are some problems here. The thing is, we just saw Justin Jefferson produce a 1,000-yard season in like 10 games and with mostly terrible quarterback play. I'm not panicky about Justin Jefferson, but I do think, you know, Justin Jefferson for the rest of his career basically is going to be a guy that we look at and think, well, things go right, he can reach 2,000 yards. But I don't think that's in play this year. I think the normal ceiling that you will perceive for Justin Jefferson is not there. I think a great Justin Jefferson season, given the hand that he's been dealt at quarterback, and there's no other good answers on the roster really, but the hand that he's been dealt at quarterback, you know, an awesome season would be like 1,500 yards, which is great, which makes him exactly what we're drafting, a top five fantasy receiver. But I don't see much of a path for Justin Jefferson unless everybody else disappoints to finish as the overall wide receiver one. He's still a first rounder. He's still a guy they're going to feed the ball to. But I do think his ceiling is capped a little bit.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, is our guest here in the Sports Bar. Andy, PPR question here, as not every RB2 can be a home run here, but I'm looking at two guys that could be, maybe one is past his prime. Asking about two running back situations, one in Washington, and how do you read the tea leaves there? And is Eckler still kind of a force to be recommended? Would you recommend him as a RB2? And the situation in Tennessee, I mean, you have the running back coming over from Dallas, Pollard, but you also have a pretty decent running back in Spears. Could his numbers be boosted up this year in PPR?
Yeah, I think Spears is a really interesting player, and that's a guy who was playing over 50% of the snaps a year ago with Derrick Henry on the team. So you know that's not changing in 2024 with Tony Pollard as his main competition. I think both of these guys are actually pretty nice values, because I feel like maybe we've forgotten how good Tony Pollard was 2 years ago, prior to the pretty complicated leg injury that he suffered, which was clearly affecting him, I think, at least in the first half of last season. So I view Pollard as a bounce back candidate. I think Spears is a great option in PPR leagues. I think he's definitely somebody who could finish this season with 55, 65 catches, something like that. He's just a source of cheap and easy yards for a young quarterback and Will Levis, who's we think an ascending talent. They've really assembled quite a team around him. So Tennessee is really interesting. It's one of the more interesting, like, I know it's not a huge national storyline, like what are the Titans this year, but fantasy wise, if Will Levis can play at a sort of league average level quarterback wise, that really unlocks some things, because they have some fun players in that offense, right? Like Calvin Ridley can still be a thing, and DeAndre Hopkins can still be a thing, and Spears and Pollard can be too. But we can't have the version of Will Levis who was for the most part putting up 170 passing yards last year, right? We need that offense like fully operational. And your other question about Washington, I will say that I really think highly of Brian Robinson, and I think he's pretty clearly the running back that I want there. He took on a receiving role last year and was really good in it. We've seen some chemistry between him and Jaden Daniels early on. My concern for Eckler is that I think Robinson is going to own the goal line. I don't know that for sure, but he's been really good when they get down near the goal line in the past, and I don't see why that would necessarily change. And then the other issue is we just don't see, you know, Jaden Daniels is a proactive running quarterback, and those guys don't tend to check the ball down to running backs in the volume that you might want if you're expecting a big PPR season from Eckler. You know, they tend to look at, okay, it's a running back who's wide open and he's 3 yards in front of me, but I'll just get those yards myself, right? And, you know, because Jaden Daniels is an incredible rushing threat. So we're going to see a lot of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Eckler finishes the season with like 40 catches, which is not particularly impactful in PPR. And on top of that, I don't know if he owns the goal line. So those are two, I don't know. I feel like Eckler is dealing with some headwinds here, even if he's healthier after last year.
Andy, we are on the eve of the NFL kickoff tomorrow night. We get Kansas City, we get Baltimore, and it should be a fantasy bonanza. I'm curious to get your thoughts on how you think it plays out. Do you think we have high-scoring affair? Is somebody like Xavier Worthy worth throwing in your flex position just because you think that Andy Reid's going to show off his new toy week one?
Well, we did not get a high-scoring affair in the playoffs last year. It was a fun game, but not a lot of points there. Not a lot of fantasy goodness. Now, I think the primary skill players involved in this game are all so good, and so many of them are headed for the Hall of Fame that, like, you're not sitting them, right? You're not sitting either tight end involved in this game. You're certainly not sitting either quarterback. You're not sitting the you know, we've got Derrick Henry on one side, Isaiah Pacheco on the other side. These are rock solid fantasy running backs. So there's not a lot of difficult sit start choices here. Worthy is one of the more interesting names attached to this game. And the thing that makes him, you know, so fantasy friendly in week one in particular is the absence of Hollywood Brown. He's already been ruled out. Not that we thought he was going to be much of a threat to play. He's been dealing with an SC joint injury for the last like month and a half. But man, Worthy has the full skill set that we look for in a vertical threat, right? He's got 4.2 speed, which is crazy. He's had some really nice moments in the preseason. Seems to have the confidence of Patrick Mahomes. So we know we're going to get a couple of shot plays to Xavier Worthy, and we only need one of them to hit for him to make some fantasy noise. So I think that's a guy that I'm interested in sneaking into a flex. And then the other guy that, you know, I think we need to talk about as a potential sit start decision is Zay Flowers, because he was drafted, you know, sort of in that very late wide receiver two, early wide receiver three range. If you're in a league that only starts two wide receivers, you might not be looking at him. He is, it's kind of a scene of the crime game for him, right? Because he was actually, like, statistically, he was great in that playoff loss to the Chiefs. He had 115 receiving yards, solid game, except he is also almost single-handedly the reason they lost, right? He had the fumble at the goal line that became a touchback. He had the taunting flag. Like, it was a roller coaster game for Zay Flowers. I would look for them to get him 8-9 targets in this one. I'm really optimistic that Zay Flowers can be used a little bit differently than he was last year, because he was mostly, you know, short stuff, at or near the line of scrimmage, very low ADOT player last year. And that's not exactly what he was in college. Like, he got a lot of deep shots in college and he thrived in that game. So if we see a little bit more of that this year, he's somebody who in my mind can make the leap to being like a 1200 yard receiver.
Andy, last one for me, and it's the game on Sunday night. Over under a set at 51 right now for Rams and Lions, and I'm thinking, wow, there should be a lot of points here. Coming out of the gate, can we expect those two offenses to light it up? Part one of the question, and part two, I mean, we know the main guys, but what would you suggest as far as flex options from that game?
Yeah, this is a really fun one, and yes would be the short answer. I do think that we can expect both sides to light it up, because we've got year-to-year continuity on each side. We know who these teams are offensively, and they're great. I think both Jared Goff and Matt Stafford are kind of sneaky, interesting bets to lead the league in passing yards. They're tied to great offenses and great receivers. I think they're both in fun situations. We know the Rams defense is going to take a step back because they're losing one of the all-time defensive players. And then Detroit's defense has, you know, the last couple of years, it's been one of those D's that it's got some playmakers and we see some highlights, but at the end of the day, they do tend to give up yards and points. So I just think there's opportunities on both sides. If I'm looking at flexes in this game, again, it's another one where the stars, you just got to play, you know, that we have some pretty notable players in this game who aren't really in the conversation to be benched. I think Jameson Williams is an interesting name because there's been so much buzz about him directly from Dan Campbell, directly from Detroit's head coach throughout the summer. They are clearly trying to make Jameson Williams a thing. They didn't really do anything else at receiver in the offseason, right? They didn't make any splashy ads. So they are clearly relying on him, perhaps to be something more than an occasional deep threat as he was last year. And we'll see if he can build on what he did in that narrow playoff loss to the Niners, where he had a couple of touchdowns. If he can build on that a little bit and they're giving him, you know, 6-8 opportunities a game, that's a huge deal, and it makes him certainly a flex-worthy player, and maybe somebody who can sneak into the top 25 wide receivers.
He's on with us now, but his work week gets underway tomorrow with with the Week 1 NFL kickoff in Kansas City. Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Lay it all out for us, Andy. We want to get more of your content here as we prepare for Week 1.
Well, content is not something we lack. Check us out at the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. That is our podcast. We're going 5 days a week. I'm on there a couple days during the week. And then check out Fantasy Football Live. We're actually going to do two shows this year. One of them is going to be a half-hour show on Thursday nights, pregame. And then the other will be an hour-long show on Sunday mornings to get you set for the entire NFL slate.
Can't wait. Andy, thanks for the time as always, bud.
Love talking to you guys. We made it. It's back.
We're here. We are so back. It is Andy Behrens stopping by the Sports Bar as the roller coaster ride that is the NFL season gets underway tomorrow night.
Yeah, and a quick update out of Cincinnati where Jamar Chase participated in the first official practice of Week 1 here as they're getting ready for the Patriots. He was seen participating in individual drills. That was all that the Cincinnati media was allowed to see.
I wonder if a deal is imminent or if he's going to play this year. Just over $1 million. I mean, just over $1 million for that player.
It's
that's robbery.
It's terrible. And you get hurt, you get nothing. If you're a Bengal fan, you shouldn't be upset if Chase is not out there Week 1. And he's asking for this one penny more than what Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
he wants
the title. He wants to be able to say, "I'm the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." And these guys know each other. I mean, they were teammates at LSU. Yes. Like, there's a rivalry there. The fact that Cincinnati has waited, and they've waited, and they've waited, it just drives up the price. And maybe it is just a cent more than what the Vikings paid Justin Jefferson. But they could have gotten him. They could have gotten him cheaper. Ayuk's deal, manageable deal for the Niners. Hell, CeeDee Lamb getting his deal done. And CeeDee Lamb didn't eclipse Justin Jefferson. I don't know that since just kind of disagree with how Cincinnati's handled this whole situation.
Fowler is reporting that Chase was at the meetings and his participation should be throughout the week here, leading up to Sunday.
So what about the Buffalo Bills? We heard from head coach Sean McDermott, the team practicing today, wearing their blue jerseys. We'll expect to see the blue jerseys for the home opener on Sunday at Highmark against the Cardinals. We learned about the team captains for the upcoming season. If you were expecting a full roster, we've got two. We've got Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard. We also found out that Damar Hamlin will be getting the start at safety.
Oh, but there is a leadership council, Andrew.
Don't forget about the leadership council.
You put that on your LinkedIn there. I was part of the Buffalo Bills leadership council.
They get together and they decide when they have team meetings, if they're getting breakfast pizza, or are they going to get together for team functions? What are they going to do?
Yeah, we're not happy with the cleanliness of the locker room. We'll call a meeting of the leadership council and we're going to resolve this. The injury report is out, and this is as good as you could hope for here. Fully participating today, Cole Bishop, Quentin Morris, Curtis Samuel, all full participants. Javon Sullivan, the defensive end, the rookie, he was the only guy who did not practice. He's got an oblique. Mitchell Trubisky, your buddy, was limited. That's it.
Mitch Trubisky, my friend! It'll be Mike White backing up Josh Allen on Sunday.
Which the Bills were so up against the cap. I mean, like less than $100,000. That's why, wait a second. They restructured here AJ Epenesa and Daquan Jones?
Very quietly restructured the deal of two guys that they just signed this offseason to two-year deals. Very quietly.
And what is this? Oh, the magic void years on the end? Yeah. No idea, but poof, you free up just a little bit of money. It was a little over $2 million, so that'll allow the Bills to promote whoever they would like, I would assume.
We'll talk more Bills with Dan Fates, 13WAM Sports, BuffaloPlus.com, who's currently doing a victory lap after predicting that Damar Hamlin would be the week one starter at safety for the Buffalo Bills early on in training camp. We'll let Dan gloat a little bit with his time here. We'll get down to what we saw today on the practice field as well as the team gets ready for Arizona coming up here Sunday, a game you'll be able to hear on the Fan Rochester. Our pregame coverage, we're back. 9 a.m., 4 hours of pregame, 9 a.m.
Did Joe Capagreco?
Oh, don't worry. Your Sunday tradition is intact. It'll be a little Italian carousel, 7 to 9, and then we'll bump it right into Bills pregame.
If you haven't done that,
If you come across it on Sunday morning, hey, I wonder who won the game last night, and then you hear Joe Capogreco, like, give it 5 minutes.
Yeah, just,
you know, just give it 5 minutes.
Ask your smart speaker to play 95.7 The Fan when you wake up on Sunday morning. And chances are you're going to hear Joe Capogreco playing the, you know, it's a contemporary Italian hits and also maybe sharing the latest soccer scores from Italy. That's Sunday morning before we get to Bill's pregame.
Hold on. Like, he must be doing this all electronically now. It dawned on me, like, our old studio actually had a CD player in it, and the Joe Capogreco CDs would go in.
I think we made that switch a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Because if you want me to find some Titty Bianchi, I can find.
Titty.
That's what I said. Titty Bianchi.
Titty.
I can find that for you in our system if you want to hear some. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to come back after a break, and we got more on the way here. We have a week one game that we have to get to as well. Another prediction?
Yeah, this is a fun one. We'll dive into it.
We'll get into that and more next. It is NFL week one, and FanDuel, America's number one sports book, has a special offer to kick us all off this NFL season. I'm Mike Danger for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan. Now, through September 2nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Mike, FanDuel.com/Mike, M-I-K-E, to download America's number one sports book. 21 plus and physically present in New York, full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.